This is Living the RV Dream, episode 221 for Friday, December 24th, 2021.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, and everybody in the chat room, yeah, coming to you once again before a live audience here on YouTube. By the way, if you aren't subscribed yet, check out this channel I've had for like a couple of years, but just recently I started doing it. You know, recording the podcast live is something that I wanted to do. I sometimes edit a little bit here and there, you know, to remove my stuttering or my ums and us and all that. But since we are before a live audience, I'm not going to edit much unless I do something like really bad. And by the way, Christmas Eve, everybody, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year, because this is probably the last episode of the year. Next Friday I might take the Friday off, but next Friday what we're doing is the New Year's Eve live stream, and we're gonna celebrate it, because I'm not gonna do it at midnight Eastern here. We're gonna celebrate UTC minus one, which would be or is it plus one? Hello, UTC plus one, which is the European Western time, like Spain, France, all these countries just east of the Greenwich Mean Time, which will be the universal time, right? We're here in the East Coast. We are at UTC minus five, so it will be at 6 p.m. Eastern, like we usually do it. My mom is going to be abroad, so I might have some footage. I just taught her today, hopefully she remembers, on how to send me some videos so I can, you know, this chat, you know, kind of makes me lose my train of thought, so I can show them to you guys on next Friday's live stream, which is going to be a regular Friday live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern. In any case, Remy Passion here on the chat says, episode 221, last episode for 2021. And I did not plan that. It just happened to be like that. By the way, here on the chat, we have Dylan Reynolds. Merry Christmas, everyone. We have this traveler, our founding executive producer. I think he's reading my messages and trying not to laugh. Don't just make me lose my train of thought. And everybody, by the way, welcome everybody who is watching live. I think today we have more, we have 21 watching live, which is, I think, the most we've had. But in any case, I wanted to make a recap of this interesting year we've had, 2021. As far as travel, I don't know if it was as exciting as we didn't go as far away as we did in 2020. With 2020, you know, the year where we're not supposed to be traveling, but you know, I just went to like the unpopulated areas of the United States, and the non-populated areas of the United States, and that's what I did. You know, North Dakota, I added that penultimate state to my list, Montana, Wyoming, that kind of thing. But now in 2021, the year began with the return of the Tampa RV show. Well, the Tampa RV show never left. In 2020, it was right before the lockdown, and they decided to do a show in early 2021. And I went to the Tampa area. I got to go on a fishing cruise, courtesy of it was a paid promotion. I mean, not paid, but like they told me, you know, you come, we'll take you, and just mention us, you know. And it was Poseidon Fishing Charters. That was a very good experience. And then basically the Tampa RV show, which I'm going back this year. I'm basically I'm gonna be there pretty much all week. So if you're going to the Tampa, the Florida, as it is officially called, the Florida RV Super Show, which is from January 19th through the 23rd, I'm going to be basically a day early because I get to go to Industry Day, but I'm going to go from the 18th to the 22nd. And on Friday, the 21st, actually, Winnebago is doing like an owner's meetup. But I think everybody can show up to that one. So make sure to do that. But I lost my train of thought. I was doing the recap. So Friday, 10 a.m. at the Winnebago booth. If it is the same as years before, it's just as you enter that main hall where they have the Prevo buses and all that. It's to the left. This is the Winnebago Towables. And I believe this year they're having the Winnebago Towables and Winnebago motorized at the same place too. What else did we do this past year? Well, that in January, late January, of course, I made that trek, you know, that hightailing it all the way to Quartzsite, Arizona. And then I stopped in Houston. I stopped in Katy and with Carlos and Sandra, and they invited me to... no, it's not Sandra. Oh, my God. I'm going to edit this out. Yvette. Oh, bro, I'm not going to edit anything out. Just it's you'll find out why I mistook the name at some point when you watch Sunday's video. In any case, she got me, you know, we ate empanadas. It was a great staying there at their home in Katy, Texas. And then I went to San Antonio, and San Antonio I met up with Jason, and we flew on his Cessna. And it was all instruments, a flight, because it was raining. But that was very exciting. And then, of course, it was the Q21 meetup. I arrived kind of late, but I arrived at the Q21 meetup. And then I lingered in Arizona. The Q21 meetup, by the way, was organized by Papa Drew. And it was all of us, you know, YouTubers there, you know, hanging out. Boondocking in the desert. That was a lot of fun. We went to the desert bar. We did a couple of things in town. I went to Beer Belly's adult daycare and Silly Al's Pizza. And from there, I decided to one of those places that has been a... And if you're ever in southern Arizona, this is kind of like bucket list. If you want to see saguaro cacti, you got to go to Oregon Pipe. Oregon Pipe National Monument. It's right by the Mexican border. I don't know if right now would be a good time to go, but when I went, it was fine. You know, it is such a beautiful area, hiking trails, very nice. I spent some time in Tucson, Arizona. Of course, I went to Picacho Peak State Park and hiked that crazy Picacho Peak Mountain. That was almost as dangerous as Angel's Landing. As you recall, I did that in the summer of 2019. No, I did that in winter, in early 2019. I went up to Sholo to meet up with another listener to the podcast, actually, Anthony, and then what I did, I got to hang out a little bit in the Phoenix area with Max and Sandy McLear, and then Illy flew to Phoenix, and then we did the rest of the trip together. We went up to Sedona, of course. Sedona, you guys know that's like one of those incredible places with the you know, red rock sandstone formations, and we drove up to the Grand Canyon. We went to Williams, Arizona, and it's one of those areas. Then Verde Valley, of course, which is a little farther south from Sedona, but Verde Valley is a very famous wine region in Arizona. By the way, Verde Valley is beautiful. We stayed at I forget, Distant Drums RV Resort, which they gave us like the worst site in the whole place. I'm going to start lying about my length at some point here. Distant Drums RV Resort. And then we went to Montezuma Castle, Montezuma Well, to Tuzigut National Monuments, all ruins from the Sinagua people, which were the people who lived there back in the day. Of course, the name Sinagua comes from Spanish. Actually, the Spaniards, who were the first conquistadors, Sinagua means without water. So the water was very scarce in this area. So these were the people without water. That's the name of the game, which I also went to visit, by the way, the Casa Grande ruins earlier in the trip. We visited that. It's a super cool town. It's Jerome, which is an old mining town. A lot of people had told me about Jerome, and Jerome didn't disappoint. Of course, if we went to the near Sholo, we went back to the White Mountains of Arizona. We saw a lot of snow, more snow than I was comfortable with. And of course, the last two places we visited, and these are also bucket list, two small towns, two very different towns, and that's Tombstone and Bisbee. But both a lot of fun. Tombstone, it's a little more, I would say, maybe a little more fun. They had the saloon, they had the gunfights. Bisbee is more of a, it's like an artsy kind of hippie town. It's very, very cool. Good brewery there. And that was kind of the end of the trip, and that was the summer trip. Then we had to hightail it in 4 days back to Florida, because at this point, Ely still had to work the 9-to-5. So so we headed back to Florida. We spent like 1 day at Pelly Camp, and actually we didn't. We stayed at the KOA because Pelly Camp wasn't ready yet. This was the year that we have finally developed Pelly Camp, our Florida property here, and that was the early portion of the year. Of course, then we also did a very long summer trip, actually cut in half, which I'm gonna talk about in a little bit here. But first I want to read a little bit of the chat here, see what you guys have been talking among each other. This traveler, I'm the clown, I'm the chat clown. I'm watching Robert's eyes where he glances at the chat. I'm being very good at not get out of character. And then trailer traveling, I'm been lying about my length for years. I'm telling you, I'm gonna tell people I have a fifth wheel. And Dylan Reynolds says, what, the 2021 was the best year for me. And why was that, Dylan? As you all know, Dylan is a regular here with the voice messages, and of always here's our official greeter at the Friday live streams. He's always there. And here we have in the chat, Mr. CLT, Alex Culture Lifestyle Travel. Hello, Robert, and all the Pelican heads out there. And of course, Alex organized our latest meetup here in Florida 2 weeks ago. And Alex, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Vegas. And as you know, what happens in Vegas usually comes out on Instagram. Okay, and now I'm reading the chat, and I'm going to have to edit this out because it's one of those things. I'm gonna post a link here in the chat if any of you want to. No, that's not what I wanted to paste. Invite. Hello. Copy to clipboard. Copied. If any of you wants to participate later, like a call-in show, I'm dropping a link in the chat. First, I want to read an email from his name is Bob. And he actually sent me a lengthy 8-minute audio, which I'm actually going to play back at the end of the podcast. So he's asking several questions here. And, you know, of all the things I've lost with age, my eyesight is one of the ones that I miss the most. CLT says it was for a weekend, had fun. Now back to the grind, brother. And it's grinding in Miami. I was just outside, and traffic, man, traffic is crazy. This time of the year is always crazy, but it feels like it gets crazier. Bob says, hi, Robert, given your video podcast format now, I suspect there's no place for this audio file, but I thought I'd send it just in case you can find a use. I've probably missed some of your comments on the current Winnebago, and wonder if you would talk for a few minutes about the things you like and don't like in particular. The compressor fridge, a good thing, given that it must use quite a bit of electricity. Is it a worry compared to a gas fridge when dry camping? And it is a worry because it is always that you know, that it's all, it almost, I mean, I have a 325 amp hour battery. Is it 350? One of the two. It's a fairly large battery. I would like to have more. We would always like to have more. If I had like 800 amp hours, I probably wouldn't care, because it would last several days. But yeah, it's that parasitic drain that if you have a sunny day and you don't use anything else, the solar will more than make up for the consumption. But I don't know, we are heading into a world of all electric eventually. That's going to happen, right? All electric cars, all electric RVs. We don't want to burn stuff anymore. And for those of you watching me on video, I was cold, but now I'm warm, so I'm taking off my hoodie. But let me read the next question. Are the lithium batteries worth the extra cost compared to the AGMs you've had in the past? I recall you have a lot of trouble with dead batteries in the night. Did the lithium fix that? It did it in a certain way with the AGMs. I was a singular AGM. I never had more than one AGM, and that may have been the problem. With the AGMs, I was kind of blind. I didn't know exactly. I could kind of monitor the voltage, but that is not as accurate as a lithium battery, where I have an app, and that app tells me it's like a cell phone. That app tells me exactly, you know, you have 10% left or whatnot, and actually it gives you at current consumption how much time you have left and all that. And of course, lithium batteries you can almost deplete completely without damaging. AGMs, you're really not supposed to go below 50 or 40%. So, unless you are like super, super strapped for cash, I would say they are definitely worth it. Especially if your power consumption is high, like mine, you know. When Ilya and I are both working and the fridge is on, we're probably consuming 500-600 watts. Let me see. He has like several questions, so I'm gonna go to the next one. Has the slide out being a plus or a minus overall? Any problems with the mechanism hanging or getting crooked? Is the trailer noisier because of the slide out? Seals aren't as tight as just plain walls. Has it caused problems when you dry camp at a place that doesn't want the slides out, like a rest stop? Yes, to all, really. I mean, it's a. I love having the extra room when the slide out is deployed, but I kind of miss the trailer always being the same. And there's one minor flaw. It could be major. You cannot open the refrigerator fully when the slide is in, and that could be a problem. I overall like it, but if I had a choice for my next rig, unless it is very, very small or cramped, I would like to have something that is always the same, so we don't have to worry about that as much. I hope that answers. I haven't had any major problems. It's a little off sync, what they call it, out of timing, I think it is. But I just Googled it, and there's an easy way to fix it, and I'm going to fix it. It's when one side kind of goes out a little earlier than the other, and I don't know why that happened, but it's easy to fix. One more question. Since you're looking for a more powerful truck, I imagine that the increased weight on this trailer has been a bit clumsy with the Colorado. Switch to an F-150 from the GMC Canyon for that reason. And its V6 electric turbochargers make a huge difference when pulling through our Colorado mountains. The turbocharger boost comes up to 80-90% when pulling to the Eisenhower Tunnel, and the engine thinks it's at sea level. Nice. Okay, about the Colorado, the main reason that I want to upgrade the Colorado is mileage. You know, I already have 100,000 miles on it. It's been reliable so far, except for one sensor that kind of gave me trouble last month. And I think it's a common issue. It got cold all of a sudden. And this is the sensor that I think does the thermostat and the cooling system of the engine. So this sensor thought the engine was overheating, and the fan, that electric fan, was going full blast. My temperature gauge wasn't working, and and the air conditioner wasn't working because, of course, when the car is overheating, the air conditioner turns off as a, you know, stops working as a safety measure, as a, you know, preventive, you know, to cause more damage. So that was the only thing. I disconnected the battery for 5 minutes, put it back on, and I haven't had another problem. So those are the questions. And what do you think lately about the e-bike? I'm not convinced that I need one. Are inexpensive mountain bikes, and I'll read the rest of the email later. But I'm happy with the e-bike, you know, especially as I get higher in age. I don't feel like pedaling in those mountains. So yeah, the chat here, by the way, is very distracting. I don't know if I'm gonna do this live anymore. And we have Dylan waiting in the green room here. So if anybody wants to comment later, I'm gonna tell you a little more. I'm gonna do a little more of the recap on our trip. And we've been doing this for 20 minutes already, according to this. Of course, the next trip we went to the Winnebago Grand National Rally, and that was in July. So we spent some time here in Florida. I think it was like the day after my birthday that we left. We spent some time at Pelicamp, and then we just drove up to. I drove straight to Winnebago. You know, minor things that I wanted taken care with the RV. You know, originally they didn't install the backup camera, so they installed the backup camera this time around, and you know, minor things, and you know, talked to Adam and Cassie and all the folks there at Winnebago. And then, of course, we went to Iowa. We went, actually, Dubuque, Iowa was an amazing town. I really enjoyed that. We did the Winnebago Grand National Rally. Then we went to Omaha and Des Moines. In Des Moines, we got that private tour of the capital of the cupola. You know, that was really, really cool. And then we started going back east. And I'm trying to look here because sometimes this whole thing is like a blur sometimes. By the way, Ely flew back from Des Moines temporarily. I went to and while she was away, I went to the world's largest truck stop, which is on I-80, Iowa 80. That's what it's called. And then Toledo, because in a bar in Toledo, across from the depot, we met up with the Hanf brothers, Ron Hanf, one of the Hanf brothers. They've been Patreons for a very long time, very nice folks. And Ely flew back into Toledo. She just went back to Miami, make sure Brian wasn't having any house parties or anything like that. And then Ohio, we did a couple of things in Ohio. We stayed in Vermilion for one night, and then Cleveland. Cleveland was a pleasant surprise, even though everything was closed on a Monday or a Tuesday. Cleveland was cool, and so was Cuyahoga Valley National Park. That was quite amazing. Even though some of the things were closed, but still. And then, of course, the end of that summer trip was we went to Niagara Falls, we went to Buffalo, and what a great trip. We stopped at Lockport, we did Letchworth State Park, which is basically the Grand Canyon of the East. What a beautiful place. And I'm in the show notes for the podcast, I'm gonna drop a link to that playlist. There's a playlist called Summer 2021, and there's one more episode in that Summer 2021 series that you guys haven't seen. Well, the patrons have seen it. We went to Rochester, and we went to the Finger Lakes area. We went to Watkins Glen State Park, which is quite something to see. All right, now as we start, I was going to talk about the fall trip, but that's even more, and I don't want to be rambling here all that long, but the fall trip was great, of course. We did a lot of things. We went to the M21 meetup, of course. in Michigan. I went back to Winnebago one last time to do the they call it the open house. What else did I do? I did Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to, and finally, Vermont and New Hampshire were those last two states that I had not visited ever. So, I mean, I did drive through New Hampshire once on I-95, and they had this huge liquor store, so we kind of stocked up there because New Hampshire doesn't have sales tax, doesn't have a liquor tax. So, you know, liquor is cheaper. Now, and I don't know if I got a mod for this channel. What do we have? Do we have trolls in the live chat here, Eric? You know, I can actually. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can have mods here. Okay, Eric, you are now a mod, and the RV DJ, you are now a mod. And if we get any trolls, you take care of that. So let me see if you talk again in the chat. Christopher Olsen says he's in Sweden here in the chat. 2 hours and 30 minutes until Christmas here in Sweden. Yeah, you guys are in the future. 2 hours and 30 minutes. Is it that late? Really? Yeah, it's like 10 p.m., right? 10:30 or 9:30 over there. So, yeah. Oh, this Mr. CLT. He says, don't forget me, you know, about adding moderator. Okay, Mr. CLT is moderator. Now we have Dylan in the green room here. I don't know, Dylan, do you want to be live or do you want me to play the message that you sent me? I have it here on the speak pipe, so I could play it real quick. I did have it on the speak pipe here. In any case, it's been a good year considering everything that's going on. And what the one thing that I noticed more than anything during the past few months, Dylan wants to be live. Okay, you're gonna be live here in about 30 seconds. What I noticed the most is things slowly returning to normal, especially during the summer. Right now, there's that Omicron thing going on, and you know, it's things are becoming complicated. But it's especially, you know, even in New York, in New Hampshire, Vermont, the feeling of normalcy was kind of refreshing. You know, being that. In any case, we're gonna have in 3, 2, 1 our friend from the Toronto area in Canada, Mr. Dylan Reynolds. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
Doing good, Robert. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for watching and for coming to the podcast. So tell us a little bit what's going on with you.
Well, in terms of today, we have actually health people. We are reporting our highest daily case count ever in this province, 5,790, and to back over 9,000 cases today. So in terms of this year, in January, the reason why I was saying 2021 is the best year, I'm going to start in January. In January, we had another school closure in Ontario due to the second wave of COVID. And So in January,
I'm just playing with the features here, Dylan. Don't mind me.
Yeah. So in the second wave, schools were closed, but I was still able to go in person. In February, we had the delay. We had found out that the March break was postponed to April, and this started a big tradition called the question Hunger Games at my local school board meetings every month. And in March, we have saw a significant increase of cases in the province. We went from 900 cases at the beginning of the month to 2,000 cases at the end of the month. And then in April, we had to lock down again. And we went and we peaked at 4,812. In May, I turned 18. In June, July, August, I had a lot of plans set for the summer. And then in September, this is where the best of the best takes place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in, So in September, I did the Terry Fox. I actually helped out with my school's Terry Fox run. And in the fall.
Let me tell you something, Dylan. I was really hoping to visit you guys in Canada this past year, and you know I couldn't. But hopefully next year, you know, things will change. One can only hope, right? Anyway, Dylan, thank you for being here. There's a little bit of noise in the background, so I'm gonna mute you real quick here. And,
well, that's my mom actually in the background, so you can ignore it. So, here's my plan for Christmas Eve. Tomorrow, I'm going to be tuning into the track to a YouTube channel called Team Yongsu, and I will be watching the Tracking Santa live show. If people want to watch that channel, I might drop a link to that channel.
All right, yeah, drop it in the chat, Dylan. All right, I'm gonna let you go now. Thank you for coming live on the live stream once again, Dylan. And that's Dylan Reynolds. He's been on the live for a very, very long time. Does anybody else have any questions, any comments, any hopes for the new year? Please let me know, and I'll post it here on the channel. Or if you want to come live, of course, there's that link in the chat room. Otherwise, I want to start wrapping this up. It's been a great year in that sense. A great year having your support all this time. You know, we had that great meetup in Des Moines. Des Moines was good, but then we had that meetup 2 weeks ago in Miami, which was a very, very, very large, and we had a small meeting almost impromptu in Dubuque as well, and the Cleveland meetup that one was quite something to see. All right, everybody, I see the RVD just, I love Vermont. We're going back for a 3-day weekend in January. And I'm going to talk about Vermont again a little bit in the future. But Vermont, that's where I arrived in Vermont. I'm going to tell you a story. I arrived in Vermont, you know, and I went there for the turning of the leaves. I arrived in Vermont. All the leaves are green. And I'm like, what's going on here? I've been cheated. But then, as we gained elevation and but it went a little farther north, by the time we got to Stowe, that was amazing. And I even got to fly. No, I didn't fly myself, like drive the plane, but some of my viewer actually, he had a friend who she was a pilot. You know, she that's what she does, tours, and I got a free like 10-minute ride on that plane. That was super, super cool. Remin Pasión from the Philippines says, just want to greet everybody a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. And let me tell you, Reming, I have high hopes. I have high hopes for 2022. And I'm planning, actually. Let me show you. For those of you on video, I'm reading. I'm actually reading a book. Remember books? I'm actually reading a book here on my Kindle. Yeah, the lighting is not good for that, but I'm reading a book here on my Kindle about the travels of Lewis and Clark, and that's gonna be the main theme of my summer trip. I want to make it like a trip with a theme, a little historical. I'm a little bit of a history buff myself, and that's one of those things that I'm gonna be learning together with you guys about one of the greatest adventures, one of the greatest expeditions in American history, how they finally found a waterway. Well, they had to climb some mountains too, but they finally found a waterway to the Pacific Ocean after the Louisiana Purchase by Jefferson. And I'm now, as we, you know, I usually, finish the podcast with a song, and it's kind of, I don't know. I haven't figured out how to make the music work here on this to be able to do it live. You know, I usually do it in post. But in any case, and now I can't find it, just because I'm gonna have to edit this out. I wanted to play back for you guys the voicemail that this gentleman, Bob, left for me. It's in an email. Okay, we'll improvise. I'll just play directly from the email. How about that? And how he was looking for a property, and he couldn't. I'm going to say goodbye to the chat here. That's going to be actually in post. So, everybody, thank you so much for being here on the chat room, for joining me one more time. And until the next one, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV. Good night, everybody. And it's, if you're only listening to the podcast, see you next year. Hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a very happy 2022. Goodbye. Have a great one.
It was one of those times when things just didn't make sense. I felt that I had to investigate. On a trip last week to northern Texas, I scanned the map for lakes, thinking maybe we could buy a small lot in a region warmer than Colorado's winter. Texas has lots of lakes, and several possibles lie between Amarillo and Dallas. That's where I was headed. The area is nicely south, and its elevation is 4,000 feet lower than my home. It meets my baby bear porridge criteria: not too hot, not too cold. I stayed at Lake Arrowhead State Park for four nights in my 20-foot GeoPro trailer and found the excellent and spacious old park nearly empty the entire time, including a Friday night. Tuesday, I drove around the lake. It's big and beautiful, but I found no likely acreage. That night, map in hand, I discovered the good-sized Lake Kemp an hour west, and Thursday followed Google to the lake. Or so I thought. After an hour, the GPS navigator turned me north along the lake, which was visible to the west, and soon suggested that I turn left. But there was no road to the left, just a continuous ranch fence. An odd recommendation from my usually trusty assistant. I drove on well past the lake, restarted the navigator, and turned back south. On this second pass, no cheerful voice directed me toward the lake at all. I passed a sign labeled Flippin' Creek. I learned later that there may be paid access via a narrow dirt road there, but my navigator didn't recommend an attempt, and so I drove on. I came to a nearly unreadable sign, Moonshine Acres, with still no input from Google. Thinking I'd at least find a friendly bar on the bay, I turned and followed the road for a mile toward the lake. My progress was stopped by a chained gate and numerous signs warning that the property was private. No intruders, keep out, no parking. A generally discouraging welcome, but a smaller sign allowed that for $15 per person, the chain could be lifted. That would have required disturbing whomever was in the nearby and silent house, which was also festooned with warning signs. The situation felt a little perilous, and I turned back, heading south for a town called Maybelle, where information about Lake Kemp access would certainly be forthcoming. Reaching Maybelle, I found it to be just a highway junction with not a building in sight. I turned west, with the lake invisible to the north. No roads toward my goal appeared, and in 10 miles I reached the town of Seymour. I drove past its quiet or closed businesses down a dusty main street, U-turned, and had just decided to return to my campsite unfulfilled. But my navigator suddenly awoke and directed me northwest, west of the invisible lake. In a few miles, it ordered me to turn left, away from the lake, at a two-track dirt road. I declined. It then ordered me left again at a locked gate farther along the bumpy old highway. It followed these unhelpful suggestions with two infeasible right turns at rusty chained gates. Google seemed intent to discourage my investigation. I drove on northward to the first actual road that generally ran toward the ever more mysterious Lake Kemp. 15 fruitless minutes down the unpaved track, my truck screen showed that I was drifting farther north of the lake with no chance of reaching it. A sign warned me that the road was private, although it was clearly labeled a county road, and with no hope of seeing water, I turned back amongst a pack of barking dogs. I had now visited all four sides of the reservoir with not a photo to show for it. Driving back towards Seymour, discouraged, I noticed a small sign beside the highway. Lake Kemp, it said, with an arrow pointing in the correct direction. At last. Google was silent about this opportunity, but I persevered. Several miles in, the road turned to dirt, and another chained gate appeared. But this one presented a toll booth window with a rather taciturn occupant. She discouraged my search, explaining that the entire reservoir, a squiggly 8 miles long and 4 miles wide, was on the Wagoner Ranch, the largest in Texas, and the only lots were small and merely leasable, on which one must quickly build a cabin. Specifically, no travel trailers allowed, although a house trailer would be acceptable. With my goal in sight, I chose not to argue that the only differences between a Montana fifth wheel and a house trailer are size and quality, the Montana usually winning on at least one of those counts. She allowed us how $15 cash would let me cross the barrier to examine the 7 available waterfront lots, and, having spent the last several hours trying just to touch Lake Kemp, I paid. Several more dirt miles, and voila, Lake Kemp opened before me in all its glory. Hundreds of small cabins, some in reasonable condition, some derelict, some just concrete pads scraped clean decades ago when their leases expired, presented themselves. All were quiet, except one occupied by an older gentleman who waved uncertainly. He was just exiting his truck. I saw no other vehicles parked at any other cabin or on the roads during the entire visit. All was quiet. The little empty houses overlooked a beautiful reservoir stretching for miles in either direction, with not a watercraft in sight. Islands adorned the lake, and my first stop overlooked a small bay where floated 1,000 black cormorants, punctuated by dozens of white pelicans. I know these birds to be professional fisherfolk. The gatekeeper's comment about abundance in the lake's clear waters must indeed be true. I was well back of the shoreline, barely visible to the birds, but the chief cormorant was having none of it. He alerted the 1,000, and they arose en masse, running atop the water, slapping their webbed feet as they powered free. The pelicans, a less flighty breed, waited sedately until the head pelican decided that enough was enough, and they too slapped and flapped to their airborne escape. The little bay was, sadly, suddenly empty. I bumped on to the available lots, saw several that looked out over the immense expanse of water, turned, and headed back to my Lake Arrowhead campsite, where I'm writing this now. The mystery of Lake Kemp is solved, but I'm nagged by the feeling that such a beautiful place, created by our own Corps of Engineers 100 years ago, should be more accessible to the unwashed. Perhaps just a campground? One could charge several times $15 to access that for a night. Oh well, it's a long drive back to my home in Fort Collins, and I may never pass this way again.